Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
What an atmosphere in this room. Incredible, wasn't it? I was in the city yesterday and I was just struck by the amount of fear that you could, you know, when you can smell fear and see it in people's eyes, then to walk from that to this and a packed house is absolutely incredible. I think you should give yourselves a round of applause, worshiping so well. Of course, all of our online community, we want to thank you so much. So many of you are tuned in. We think of beautiful people like Poppy and Gordon that we love so much. We're thinking and praying for you guys. And had a lot of people meet me and say, look, my doctors advised me not to come. And so we just want to honor you. Don't feel bad. Thank you for tuning in. And we want you to know we love every single one of you. And we're looking forward to when you're back in the room. So you're all good? Who's ready for the word? Come on, let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for what you're doing in our city. There have never been a time of such great opportunity for us to be good news and bring good news. So we pray that you would equip and inspire us today. Speak to us, Lord. We need it. And we need you. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. September the 18th. 2016, a Hurricane Ike, swept through Texas with winds of 143 miles per hour, literally destroyed the town of Galveston in Texas. In the aftermath of the storm and devastation was this picture that the team are going to put up. What a picture. There was one house that remained. And that's because the owner had built it to hurricane standards. It survived the storm. In Matthew 7, verse 24 to 26, Jesus said this, "Everyone who hears my teaching and applies it to his life can be compared to a wise man who built his house on an unshakable foundation. When the rains fell and the flood came with fierce winds, as they will, beating upon his house, it stood firm on a strong foundation. But everyone who hears my teaching and does not apply it to his life can be compared to a foolish man who built his house on sand. And when it rained and rained and the flood came, the wind and the waves beat upon his house, it collapsed and was swept away." By the time Jesus was finished speaking, the crowds were dazed and overwhelmed by his teaching. I'd love to get that response maybe one day. But when Jesus spoke, they would look, just all look dazed and overwhelmed, because his words carried such great authority, quite unlike the religious scholars. I want to talk to you today about being unshakable. Unshakable. Number one, the reason we're unshakable is because we have got unshakable foundations. Unshakable foundations. You can either build your life on unshakable foundations or shifting sands that can be swept away at any moment. In life, the rains will fall, the floods will come, and the wind will blow. It can be scary. This last couple of days in our city reminded me of when we were in Brisbane, and about 10 years ago, we had the Brisbane floods. The Wivenhoe Dam that was built to protect the city after many, many floods, it reached capacity. It reached 197%. I don't know why it wasn't 100%. It went to 197. And they knew that if it reached 200, it would collapse. And so the only option was to open the gates and release the floodwaters, which meant they would come down the Lockyer Valley. It would take about 36 hours, and then it would smash Brisbane. And we were in Brisbane, and for those 36 hours, we knew the flood was coming. And it was a very surreal time, especially when you live in Australia, because there are some weird things about Australia. My local golf course was called Carbrook Golf Course. We've got a picture of it. And there's one of the signs, which you don't see at Barnum Brum. The second picture shows that literally bull sharks lived. And I mean, this is 20 or 30 miles inland. Some little tinker had put sharks into this area, and they'd started to grow over the years. And so the golf course was famous for having bull sharks. How many know if you hit the ball in the water, Dave, you didn't go in to try and receive it? But when the floods came, here's what happened. Let's look at this. Middle of a high street. Imagine wading through flood water in the middle of a high street and that sucker being there. How many are glad we don't live in Australia right now? I mean, you've got to focus on the good news, haven't you? I mean, the good news in Norwich is I went into a men's toilet yesterday, and men actually washed their hands. So that was a very good thing, all right? So you've got to focus on the good things. But in life, scary things do happen. Jesus in John 16:33 said this, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." There's actually five statements in there. I wonder which statement you took out of it. Because it's interesting, isn't it, when drama happens, what's in you starts to come out. And it reveals your internal paradigms of the things you tend to see. See, my wife is very much a faith girl. She sees all the positive. I would describe myself not as fear-filled. I'm probably more realistic, maybe pragmatic. And so sometimes you read a verse like that, and the line you pull out is, you will have tribulation. Have you ever met Christians that are all about tribulation, all the suffering and they'll read a verse like that. They'll miss all the surrounding stuff, but they'll focus. You will have tribulation, brother. It's going to be a hard walk. But when you break that verse down, it's actually got five statements, and the other four are all positive. Jesus said, "I've spoken to you." Who's glad that he's spoken to us? Jesus speaks. It says that in me you can have peace. It says you can be of good cheer. It says I have overcome the world. There are five statements. Which ones are you focusing on? See, if you focus on the trouble in this world, you will have trouble, the NIV says. Trouble will come around you. But Jesus said in John 14:1, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." It's one thing for trouble to be around you. It's another thing to allow the trouble into you. You can either live with trouble or trust. There will be trouble, but trust in me, he's saying. The severity of the storms that surround you reveal the strength of the foundation within you. The older I get in life, the more I realize that we can't control what happens around us, but we can take responsibility for what happens in us. 10 years ago, I heard Stephen Furtick make this statement, and I've never forgotten it. He said, "Our external challenges are only as powerful as our internal foundations allow them to be." Hope you're listening online. Let's make sure that as we drill down into this parable, which is in fact at the end of the greatest sermon that's ever been preached by Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount. And he said there are two types of people. Type number one, those who hear the word and apply the word. And the second group is those who only hear the word. Now think about that for a moment. What is Jesus saying? He's saying it's not enough to hear the word. We think, oh, all we've got to do is hear the word. No, he says, the guy that built his house on shifting sand, he heard it. I'll tell you what he didn't do. He didn't apply it. See, God's word is like a deodorant. Those of you online, you've got to apply it. Why don't we all do a little sniff test to the person next to us? Just look them in the eye and say, you have to apply it. I hope you put it on, those of you at home. I know you would if you came to church. But God's word, it has to be applied. It has to be applied. When you apply the word, it builds an unshakable foundation. You see, in life, there are three things: patterns, principles, and practices. Jesus said, build according to the pattern I show you on the mountain to Moses. That's the patterns in life, the things that God shows you. Then there are principles. The Bible is full of principles, but then there are practices. Don't stop at one and two. Patterns, principles, and practices. We're talking at Alpha this week. My good friend Pete Reeve, he's not here today, respecting his family's advice, and we get that, mate. And he was talking in our Alpha group over here how when he first came to church, he had an encounter with God, and he absolutely loved it. And he'd say, come to church and get a good lift, and he'd go and party and, you know, get up to his old tricks. I don't even want to know, Pete. All right. And then one day he came to church, and Nathan Finocchio was preaching, and he talked about how Christianity is a relationship with God, but there are also responsibilities. You can't just live as you want, come back to church, and think, oh, it'll all be forgiven. And God really spoke to Pete. Literally transformed him. It's not just enough to know the principles, you've got to apply the practices. Ephesians 5:26, Jesus is talking about his church, how much he loves his church. He said this, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. How many know we've gone soap mad? We have never washed our hands so much in all our lives, have we? I heard a really good tip this week. Church gave out some guidance. You know, everyone was saying when you wash your hands, sing happy birthday, which is great. They said it takes the exact same time to say the Lord's Prayer. So every time I've washed my hands this week, I've just quietly said the Lord's Prayer. How good would that be if we all did that, praying for our nation? Your kingdom come, your will be done. Deliver us from evil. And that word soap, I've been out to the Tesco's, I've bought remember those Imperial Lather soaps? I used to use them 40 years ago. I've got a pack of four this week. My wife's away. I've stocked up on the soaps, darling. But can you remember Vision Sunday when Pastor John launched this? I know you've all read it and studied it. There's a section in there called Ways to Read the Bible. But what's the next page? It says soap. See, in times of infection, it's important to wash your hands, but can I suggest it's also important to wash your mind and wash your heart. So if you've not already started doing this, we've got this acronym SOAP. If you think, what's he talking about? It's talking about how important it is when you read the Bible. It gives you a way to do it. So you sit down with your coffee or your cup of tea, because we're English, and firstly, you read the scripture. You might read, I don't know, a chapter or whatever, but here's what I'll encourage you to do. Whatever you read, find one verse that jumps out to you. Just pick a verse. Let's say John 16:33. All right? And you write out that verse in your journal. Then observations. What do you observe in that passage? Well, it's saying Jesus has spoken to me. It's saying that he's already overcome the world. It's saying that I can be of good cheer. And you write down all the observations, not from everything you've read, just from that one verse. Then application. How am I going to apply that in my life? How am I going to put on the deodorant? How's that going to make a difference to my life? And then P, pray. I'm telling you, if you will wash your mind and your heart with God's word every day, it'll build such a foundation. I live with an incredible woman. Her name is Rachel. She's my wife. You'll be pleased to know that. And she is unbelievable. She's one of the most whole people I've ever met. She's a strong woman of faith. She's emotionally strong. She's not here. She's speaking at a woman's conference. But she's beautiful inside and out. And this week when I was studying, I could have literally bought you 50 of these. These are her journals. And for decades, she has done that soap every day. Every single day, she reads the word. And because she wasn't here, I thought I'd have a look in some of her journals. And can I tell you, it was quite interesting reading. Because here, if you can see this online, and Rachel, darling, I hope you're watching, because it says, man needs woman. 1 Corinthians 11:4. Woman was created because the man needed her. And she's put a big smile, little tinker. I'm going to have to work on her theology. But when you read this, it is packed full of God, the things that God has spoken to her through the word. She's been washing her mind, washing her heart for years and years. How great would it be if those of us that are already in isolation, or those of us that have got a bit of extra time on our hand, don't just flick on the news and social media. Let's get into the word. Let's build some habits that are, so we don't just have clean hands, we've got clean minds and clean hearts. I love that. Number one, we have an unshakable foundation. Number two, still with me? Unshakable faith. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith and fear both come by hearing. It's a question of what you're hearing. If you hear what the news is saying and all you hear is coronavirus, it'll produce fear, because fear comes by hearing. But faith also comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let's make sure that we're not allowing fear and anxiety to erode our faith, because that's what it does. It eats away at your faith. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has already dealt with the issue of fear and anxiety. So I read to you from Matthew 7, but if we jump back a little bit further to Matthew 6, Jesus said in verse 25, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life." Do not worry about your life. Now, I've got a mentor in Australia. His name is Dr. Van Shaw. There's a picture of him. He's the guy, you'll see it in a second. He's the guy in the green, and he's probably the smartest man I've ever met. He's got a PhD in theology, and he wrote his thesis on the book of Revelation, 120,000 words. How many know that's a smart man? And so for many years, we've stayed in contact, and he inspires me. He's kind of fathered me. And I was talking to him on Friday morning, and I was telling him that I was speaking at church on Matthew 7. I said, "Van, have you got any?" It's a bit like having your own personal scriptural Google. We used to call him Van Google. I said, "Van, have you got any thoughts about Matthew 7? He said, "Oh, to understand Matthew 7, you've got to go to Matthew 6. And he challenged me on the phone. He said, "Steve, how did Jesus tell you to deal with anxiety?" Let me ask you that, Stewie, or you online. How did Jesus advise us to deal with anxiety in Matthew 6? And I thought about it. And then he said this. He said, "What would you have expected Jesus to say?" And we'd probably have expected Jesus to say, "Pray." But he didn't. He said this. He said, "Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than them? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? So why worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field." See, here's what Jesus does. He changes their perspective. When you're worried, you've got to do two things. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. So those of you that are in self-isolation, especially all you dear older ones this week, when you're getting a bit of cabin fever, open the curtains and look at the birds. Look at the flowers. And remember this. If God can care for them, how much more can he care and provide and protect you, because he loves you so much? You know, my daughter, Mercy, she's 15. She has no idea. No idea how much I love her. I would do anything to protect her and provide for you. And that's how God the Father feels about you. He loves you so much. And here's the problem with anxiety and worry, is it robs you of perspective. Focus on the birds, focus on the flowers, and it'll cause you to remember your heavenly Father and how much he loves you. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear." Now listen to this, you guys online. Perfect love is not your love for God. perfect love is His love for you. Come on, let's give Him a round of applause. His love for you. It's His love. When you discover how much He loves you. When I turned 40, I made a commitment to God to read 40 books on love. And I read and I discovered things about the depth and the height and the width. And Paul said, your minds cannot understand Him. You have no idea how much God loves you, my friend. And it will cast out fear. Because anxiety and fear, they rob you of perspective. Have you noticed the world's gone mad? Have you? Catastrophizing, all these weird conspiracy theories. And can I be honest with you? Got a bit wound up in the last service. I'll try and keep a lid on it. Can I tell you something that winds me up? When Christians come up with these weird conspiracy theories, I call it conspiracy theology. Now, I Googled what conspiracy theory means. It's a secret plan to do something harmful. When a crisis hits the world, I hear these theories that come from good people that love Jesus, but all of a sudden, they start talking about this is Jesus judging the earth, and it's because of a certain type of person. And I think, oh my word. Do you think Jesus has been secretly trying to trick us? Saying, well, I love you. I went to the cross for you. I'd do anything for you. I'm for you. But secretly, He hates us. He's trying to kill us. Do you really think that? And I think as a church, we need to stop this conspiracy theology. Let me tell you what they preached in the New Testament, the apostles. Because remember, we've got to look at the Old Testament through the lens of the cross. We are Christ followers. We look at everything through the lens of what Jesus has done. And in Acts 10:38, it says that they preached Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went around doing good and healing all. Doing good and healing all. What does Jesus do? He does good and He heals people. He helps people. He builds people. He's there for people. It doesn't say Jesus went around doing bad and judging people. It doesn't say that. Someone emailed me this week and said, does coronavirus come from the hand of man or the hand of Jesus? Let me answer that for you. When I look at Jesus' hands in the Gospels, here's what I find. His hands were reaching out to people. He was there for lepers. He was there for outcasts. When I look at the cross, I see that His arms were outstretched and His hands were pierced. Why? Because He loved you so much. No matter what you'd done, if coronavirus was judgment on our sin, we'd all have it. But thank God Jesus is reaching out. He came to give life. He came to save people. Let's stop conspiracy theology. Why? Because it repels people. Don't post about that stuff on Facebook. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. People are attracted to Jesus, not that stuff. So let's be a church of good news. That saying in John 12:32, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men. That comes from in the history of Israel when a plague broke out and God spoke to Moses, said, put a snake on the top of a pole and everyone that looks at that snake, they're going to live. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men and I will bring healing and life to people. Let's be lifters up of Jesus. Let's preach the good news. Let's keep perspective, not catastrophize. See, how do you do that? The Greek word for worry in Matthew 6 that Van was talking to me about, the Greek word that's used there means to be troubled with cares. And he said, Steve, if you're going to talk to people about this, you've got to liken it to a suspension bridge. So you look on the screen, you'll see the world's biggest suspension bridge in China. And it's 1,000 feet in the air, and notice they've put glass panels in so you can look down. I think they actually had to close it at one point because they were worried it was going to fall down. All right, now let me give you, now that's China. All right, it was actually an Israeli developer. But let's look at the next one. This is Pakistan. All right, there you go. The Indus Valley in flood, and people still use that on a regular basis. And Dr. Van said this, he said, Steve, worry is like walking on a suspension bridge. It's shaking, you're wondering whether you're gonna make it, and you look down and you're filled with anxiety. That's what worry does. You lose perspective. If you're going to go across a bridge like that, you know where you need to look? You need to look through the bridge to the end. And that's what worry does. It robs you of perspective. Don't look down. Don't look around. You need to look through. Why? Because someone has gone before you. The Bible calls him the forerunner. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And he's there for you. And if you'll keep your eyes fixed on him, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Don't look at all that's going on around you, look to Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. I love that thought. I think we all need a bit of cheering up. I heard a joke this week. You ready for a joke? Here we go. There was three men that were hiking in the country. Came upon a violent river raging. And they needed to get to the other side. So the first man prayed and said, God, please give me the strength to make it across the river. And poof, God gave him huge biceps and strong legs like Dave Field. And he swam across in 1 hour. 1 hour. Second guy looks and wow. So he prayed and said, God, give me the strength and the tools to make it across. And all of a sudden, poof, God gave him a boat. And he got in the boat and he rowed across in 30 minutes. Then the third guy prayed. He said, God, give me the strength, the tools, and the intelligence to make it across. And poof, God turned him into a woman. She looked at the map, walked 2 minutes up the road, found a bridge, and walked across. Come on, let's give it up for the women. I love it. Did you like that, girls? Just getting you ready for sisterhood, just stirring you up a little bit. Chapter 7, verse 26. Jesus has just finished telling this story. The man that survived in the storm. And he said, when Jesus had ended these things, the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority. Authority. He wasn't like the religious scholars. Because his authority wasn't conferred on him by doing a HND or a degree in the Jerusalem University. That word authority, if you break it open in Greek, it's this word, it's exousia. And we translate it as authority or power, and Jesus was filled with it. And it comes from two Greek words. The word ex. So when you breathe out, you exhale. So ex means to come out. Ousia means your inner being. Who you really are. It comes out from you. An authority which came from Jesus' inner being. It came out from him because it was who he is. In 1 John 4 and verse 4 it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is within you is greater than he that is in the world. You can walk with authority, not because of what is going on around you, but because of the authority that is yours, because Christ lives in you. And all your authority comes from him. Exousia. It's the authority of being. It's the one that lives in us. So we have, number one, an unshakable foundation. Number two, unshakable faith. And number three, an unshakable future. I love that. If ever there was a time for a message of hope, it's now, church. And in Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing that you in this section, you over here, those of you watching online, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. How good is that? That we're called to have, to be filled with such hope that it flows out of us. It abounds through us. We are called to be spreaders of hope. You know, the world is infected because a virus will spread and fear will spread. But the good news is hope will spread. The gospel will spread. Which are we spreading through our lives? You know, in every crisis, there is an opportunity as the team come. When we're in Brisbane and the Brisbane flood hit, it was pretty devastating for a lot of people, no doubt about it. But in every crisis, there's the seed of opportunity. And we as a church, we got on the front foot. People were so filled with fear, we started to plan and strategize, and we targeted an area that was going to be hit by the flood. It was called Goodna. It was an area of economic deprivation, and we went out, and man, when that flood came through, and in some people's houses, it came up almost to the height of this roof. They were covered in mud. You might remember the mud army, and we got stuck in. We cleaned houses. We helped with insurance processing with the people. We took food hampers, and we were just a blessing in the middle of the devastation of that flood. And guess what? 3 months afterwards, when we'd run buses to and from Goodna, our youth ministry exploded from a couple of hundred to something like 600 young people. Why? Because in every crisis, there is an opportunity. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Church, what an opportunity. What an opportunity for us to be good news in the middle of so much fear. Let me say this, when people go through crisis, they start to long for home. For home. We were in Alpha this week, and on the video, there was a great video guy talked about how someone in his family had died, and then in the discussion afterwards, person after person started to talk about how death had personally impacted them. It's really interesting. C.S. Lewis said, men are like pigs. Don't say amen, girls. He said, men are like pigs. They only look to God when they're flat on their backs. Pig looks forward to its next meal. If you want it to look up, you knock it down, and only then does a pig look up. And sometimes it's not till life gets tough that people start to think about eternal things and home. There's this lovely saying, it's home is a place you grow up wanting to leave and grow old wanting to get back to. In the season of uncertainty, there's an opportunity because God has put eternity in everyone's heart, a longing for home. We lived in Australia for 14 out of the last 16 years. We honestly loved it. The lifestyle, incredible. We were happy. We had jobs that we loved. Because we're pastors, we got asked to do a lot of funerals. And I remember being in this one funeral. And we were there ready to do the committal. And the grave was dug. We were just waiting for the hearse and the body. Just thinking about my lines. And Rach and I started to talk. And I said, Rach, I wouldn't want to get buried in Australia. She said, neither would I. Why? It's not home. We loved it. It wasn't home. Couldn't imagine my body being left the other side of the world. And that started a journey. And that journey lasted 2 years. Thinking about our future. A destiny. And that journey came to a close 2 years later when my dad died. And I was still in Australia. And I got that call. Sister was a nurse. She knew he wasn't going to last. So my brother-in-law, Tim, he got FaceTime, stood in front of my dad's deathbed, literally. For 5 hours, I watched. My dad was conscious at the start. He smiled when I spoke. But gradually, he slipped away over 5 hours from this world to the next. And I knew it was time to come home. It's one of the two reasons I came back home. You know, when people are filled with such anxiety and fear, there's a longing deep down for home. In front of our church, the sign is, "Welcome home." Friend, you weren't designed to FaceTime God, to search for Him on Google, to watch an occasional movie and wonder. Friend, you were designed to have relationship with Him. Those of you in this building, those of you watching online, He wants to be close to you. He wants to live in you. See, religion says you've got to do certain things, but Jesus said, no, no, no. I want to love you. I want to care for you. And if you want an unshakable foundation, it's about being different on the inside, not the outside. You say, Steve, how do I get right with God? How do I have this relationship? It's actually very simple. You ready for this? You invite Him in to live with you, to give you wisdom, to talk to you, to guide you through life. Maybe you're watching online or you're here in this building and you've never made that choice. The good news is we'd love to pray a prayer with you. We'd love to welcome you home. So here's what I'm going to do. In just a moment, I'm going to count to three. And here in this room, you can raise your hand. Even those of you watching online, you can join in with this prayer and invite Him right in. Obviously, we can't call you forward, those of you watching online. We're not even going to do that here, but I would love to pray for anyone. Maybe you know, friend, you're far away from God in this moment. Maybe you once knew Him, but you've drifted away. The good news is, today you can come home. So whether this is the first time or you're returning back, I'd love to include you in this prayer. So would you bow your heads, close your eyes? This is a personal moment, friend, between you and God. If you say, Steve, would you pray for me? I want to get right with God. I'm going to simply ask you, I'm going to count to three and ask you to slip up your hand. And then we're all going to pray. So are you ready? Online and in the room, you get ready. One, two, three. That's it. Just lift it up. Beautiful. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. I love that. Just slip it up. If you want to get right with God, your heart might be beating. I know I can't see your hand online, but God sees your heart, friend. You can pray this prayer too. So come on. It's every one of us. Pray this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I've done wrong, and I know I need you. And so I ask you to come in. I want to live for you. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to wash me and guide me through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer as you leave the building, hopefully one of our team will be out there. They'll be waving this book. It's a Bible. I want to give you that. It's going to help you. It's going to cleanse you. So make sure. And then, if you're watching online and you email us at Soul Church and tell us or call us, we'll get a Bible to you. But I'd like us all to stand just briefly. Don't lose perspective, church. I'd like us just to worship just for a moment. Get Chantel to come and lead us. She'll know the right song. You know what? Don't let worry and anxiety cause us to lose perspective. Let's look to Jesus. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Friend, He's going to see you through. So come on, let's worship Him together.
And God, I look to you.
Love Sister Chantal, I want to pray for people who are feeling anxious today. You know, that's not God's plan.
Yeah.
As you heard, brilliant word from Steve. That's not his best, it's not his plan. But if you're feeling anxious, and many of you will be, and that's kind of understandable with what's happening right now, I just want you to place your hand on your heart. That's where all the issues flow out of. Let's pray and ask Chantal to pray, and we're going to pray for the peace of God. The peace of God which goes beyond our own understanding. You know, even in a storm you can have peace if you're holding on to the right things. We're going to hold on to God. We're going to hold on to that word, that unshakable faith this week. And let's believe God for peace in this storm. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I thank you that you say in your word, Lord, to be anxious for nothing, God, but through prayer and petition, Father, that we can let our requests be made known to you, Father. You care about your children, Lord. You care about the things that we care about. And so right now, Father, I speak to every mind. I speak to every heart. Father, I pray that they would align with the word of God, which is the truth. And the truth is what sets people free. So, Father, we would not live under the lie. You call the enemy the father of lies. And so right now, we render you powerless. Satan, you come under our feet. Father, I thank you that you've given us everything to trample the lies of the enemy. So right now, we speak to it as though it is, Father. We speak healthy minds. We speak health and peace in the name of Jesus. Father, no weapon, no lie, no anxiety will come upon us in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God some praise. Fantastic. Would you thank Steve as well? Wasn't that brilliant? What an absolutely apt word for this season. So good. All right, why don't you just find your seats? Hope you enjoyed that online as well. And if you're online this week watching any of the chapel services or anything we do online, make sure you drop us a comment. And we've got going to have a team interacting as well. So it's not just one way. We'll make sure that we're getting back to people. And if you've got prayer requests this week, if you're feeling anxious, okay, make sure you call your group leader. Make sure you drop us an email so as a team we can pray. We have a prayer group here. There is no need for anyone in this church to do this next season alone. Okay, there's no reason, because we've got things in place. The key thing is to make sure you're reaching out and letting us know if you're feeling that anxiety. Let us know, because we want to be on the other end of the phone, be there for you as a church. This is where we stick together, hey? Come on, we stick together. Fantastic. All good.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.